I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
It's the third dance. It was Maisie and Gorka doing the Little Shop of Horrors jive.
Absolutely incredible.
Just constant. Just like two machine pistons that have been put in clothes, and then they just go, do your thing. And out they go. Maisie coming out with like Tina Turner legs at various points. Just, she does attack dances. She's not a soft dancer. She's very, very hard. So that sort of sense of her being like a robot that just has been programmed to dance up to 10.
Yes.
And there's no way of turning it down. I think slightly does give you often a strange sort of feeling of there is no emotion in her performance.
Right, okay.
Because it's just so precise and frenetic and, well, some may say inhuman.
We certainly did talk about her that way early on, but obviously since I've gotten to know her, I remember episode one of this just sort of saying, oh, she's a bit, she's too happy. Where's the rest of her personality? But I think she's 19 and she's just full of enthusiasm, excited to be there, and incredibly talented. And what they were saying to her when they, you know, desperately tried to find any fault with her at all was that, you know, some of the foot finishing wasn't perfectly placed, ladylike, whatever. She even did that this week in the fastest dance you can do on Strictly, the jive. She finessed even her foot placement, so as well as the characterization and just playing that part so brilliantly.
Busy face
and the difficult timings. The face is expressive, everything just,
I mean in the course of, like, you know, however long it is, 90 seconds, she must have done, I'd say, 8,500 different facial expressions, all of them
absolutely
making sense one after the other. You know, I mean, astonishing. When they finished, they were exhausted, the two of them. It was a really, really, really fast
dive. They
gave
it everything.
Gorka was seemingly in a worse state than Maisie.
He couldn't speak, but then he's older,
I
guess.
He just went, horror, horrific.
Yes.
Like that. Like if you found a ship floating off the coast of Whitby.
There's one crew member
lashed onto the thing, and the last two words he says before dying are horror, horrific. You know, just terrifying.
I think he might have been talking about the CGI pot plant, you know, at the end.
That was a funny thing, because I did think if you went to a musical and they had a CGI Audrey or Aubrey, whatever the plant is called,
I don't know.
If that came up at the end, you'd go, oh, well, that spoiled it. What is this doing on BBC One primetime?
I don't know.
The person who said, yeah, I can deliver the CGI, I have a feeling is, I mean, he's not telling the whole truth.
Do you think it was awarded like a government contract and it was just like one of his, one of the producer's mates or something? No, honestly, he's brilliant. He can make anything you want.
It's O.T. and Motsy's sister and they've just brought her in. She can't do the dances. She can't do the judging. Yeah. She's got to do something.
Yeah.
Sure, I can do CGI. Why not? I'm sure I can find out.
but that aside, though, the judges all mentioned, you know, and Shirley gave her a standing ovation. The timings kept changing during that number. So it wasn't just like a bang, 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 kind of just keeping up with one rhythm. She had to make sort of changes mid-step and into a new rhythm. She just made it look like she was having a lovely time with a guy, you know, in a, what is it, a pet shop, a little shop? I don't know what it is.
It's a little shop of horrors.
Of course sorry. That's what he was talking about, horrors.
Horror, shop of horrors. But your energy is absolutely insane. You absolutely smashed it, said Craig. Shirley said, smashed it for sure.
And Motsy said, you are music!
Which was, no, I think, way, I cannot live for that, she said.
She went Geordie there. That was
the
incredible.
Music is in your body. She shouted. look, I thought as well, Maisie was lovely afterwards. She was just really almost sort of shaking and almost on the verge of tears just with... That was a transcendently lovely thing for me to get to do.
Yes, and to get right so brilliantly.
I mean, did I feel like this was going to be a 30? I knew it wasn't going to be a 30.
Why though? How did you know?
It just lacked something that was emotional, that pushes it slightly above. I don't know what it was.
Oh my God. What more could she do? Bleed from her eyes?
I felt it was amazing. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But... it didn't move me in a funny way.
Oh, well, Craig obviously agreed with you because he found no fault with it at all, but gave her a 9. And then Motsy had struggled getting her paddle out. And then I thought was going 10, gave it a 9 as well. What was it they didn't get? What did you not get?
Don't know. It just had an odd lack of emotion for me. I mean, we will
obviously
get onto it. It's a jive.
She's supposed to be. You said she did like 186 facial expressions. Like, which one of those didn't convey the required emotion, Mark?
No, that's true. But look at Jeanette and Harvey. And that was one where they didn't do any long lingering looks. But I felt quite emotional during that. I don't know what it was.
Oh.
Just there was something just missing from it.
Had you not had a drink yet? Was it that? Next we have Bill and Oti. I'd been really looking forward to this one. I'm doing the Argentine Tango, arguably my favourite Strictly dance, to that one from The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Sung amazingly by the live singers. And I don't know. Again, tangos and Argentine tangos are very hard to judge. Because there's lots of stillness when perhaps you want more momentum. They stop and start a little bit. And he seemed to do well and be very much in sync. But I just felt slightly like he didn't quite convince me he was in charge of that dance, which is kind of the man's job.
I wonder slightly again whether that's an emotional thing. And the one thing that we've seen with Bill and Oti is they don't do We Are In Love. And as soon as this is over, you know, this is the vertical expression of horizontal desire.
Right, sure.
That for me wasn't there. It was like...
There's no burning chemistry. That's what's missing.
It felt a bit like if you went to a Rick Wakeman concert and there was a bit where they had to change the drum kit. And so he did a dance with a model. There was something about it that it wasn't sexy and it wasn't supposed to be.
Yes, I would agree with you.
Yeah, he's too much of a gentleman and she sort of, you know, is too much of a professional to make him try and fake that.
I think you're right because it's probably not in his wheelhouse. I think gentle is a word I would use for this. It was too gentle.
Yeah, it lacked an animal spark. Although he did look like one of those guys with that painted face mask on who was in that very famous dogging documentary, didn't he? He had a slight look of that.
With the animal masks, yeah.
Yeah, no. And she was wearing essentially a lace neck curtain.
It
was perfectly good. But again, like I felt with the Maisie one, you could tell that it didn't matter how proficient and technical it was.
Yeah.
It just lacked something.
There was
that
a
was
spark
quite important
missing.
For the dance.
Well, I don't agree with you on the Maisie dance. I do in the case of Bill. I think it's the first time I've watched him dance where I haven't entirely relaxed.
Yeah.
While watching.
I want the
final for him so much. I was slightly kvetching that he might have not. He might not have given the audience enough cause to vote for him to get in there.
No, and you could see with the judges, they were positive, but they were also a bit guarded with what they were saying.
Yeah, they held
so
back.
So Shirley was saying it's difficult for a celebrity man to lead a professional lady.
Right.
You did very, very well. It's not an easy routine.
Yeah.
I thought you did very well.
Mm.
And it is slightly that sort of, yes, there's nothing wrong with it, but the undercurrent of all of that is there is something not right about it.
Yes, exactly. Telling him that it's hard means he sort of made it look hard, which...
Yeah. Motsy said, I think you pulled it off, honestly.
Which again sounds like faint praise.
Honestly, it's all that sort of, I'm ready to for someone to say they didn't.
Yeah.
And that was the sort of general vibe about the whole thing.
And then Craig confused me, though.
Totally, yeah. He said you had complete control. He said it was phantasmagorical.
Yeah.
It was a strange mix.
Yeah.
But I think what it did is it conveyed exactly what we felt about it, which is it was good, but what was it good enough?
Didn't catch fire for me.
No.
The Argentine Tango is that you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head first off, that there's a simmering... it's not like the passé, which is an argument, or the normal tango, which I don't know what that is. But there's definitely an element of sort of simmering sexual something that has to be in there for the tensions in the body to make you think things, you know, rude things. Yeah. There was no rude thinking. This is like, imagine if they did a rumba. I'm not sure, again, that push and pull of the sexual magnetism is going to be there for Bill, and I hope.
And you're absolutely right about that, because that sense of watching it and the passion, the passion and the sort of unrequited desire, you know, unrequited for the minute and a half the dance lost,
then
you can race off and hammer and tongs.
Absolutely.
But that is also a key element of the dance that is oddly as important as the footwork.
It's weird that they didn't bring it up. Like, they're not, like, we're lay people, and it was obvious to us that that was missing, but the judges didn't even cover it. I don't know. It just seems a bit odd. That's an obvious thing.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if it's revealed later that Bill and OC are having a really torrid affair?
No, it would be appalling.
Their hands off each other.
His wife, because they featured this a lot on It Takes Two. I'd be heartbroken because his wife makes them. Like, this incredible selection of gourmet meals. Every day she sends Bill with lunch for two and dinner for two. She mixes up the menus. She sends the most incredible things for him to the two of them to eat while they're trending. So I would be genuinely heartbroken if he was cheating on his wife.
I imagine those meals are absolutely laced with bromide. Absolutely.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. And Michael Crawford made a little appearance afterwards as well. So they got 3-8, by the way, for 24. Yeah. But Michael Crawford, he's one of those guys I am fascinated with, because he obviously did Some Others Do Have Them.
Yeah.
And then he parlayed that into doing West End theatre.
Yeah, because he does have an incredible set of pipes. Yeah.
And during the 80s, he was the biggest West End star, you know, not just in Britain. He then went to America, to Broadway, and was huge there. So he did Barnum, which later became a film.
Of course.
Was a huge. I think he had the longest run for any lead in a musical.
Did he?
For doing Barnum. It was something like 3 years.
I was a bit in love with him during his Phantom and Barnum days. I had a bit of a young crush on him.
And then he obviously went on to do Phantom, which was, I mean, he is that EGOT, that, you know, the Emmy, the Tony, the Oscar and the Grammy.
Yeah.
You know, the Americans are obsessed. But he absolutely came as close as you can to do it in the musical theatre world. So he won an Olivier. He then won the, you know, New York Times critic. He won, you know, all of the awards that were going. So I was like, where has he been? Why did he disappear?
I'm not sure exactly.
I had a little look, and it turned out he did an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical called The Woman in White.
Oh, that rings a bell.
Played a really, really fat character called Count Fosco. And he had to wear a fat suit. And basically, the fat suit gave him exhaustion. And he had to take 7 months off. And then he was diagnosed with ME.
Oh, my God.
The viral strain of ME. And
poor thing.
He basically just went to New Zealand and spent 7 years trying to recover. Aww. And so I think since then, he's been involved in charity work. But when he turns up, he's like the loveliest guy.
Oh, he seems
he's
the sweetest
so
man.
He's so sweet. Yeah, he really does. I would really, really like someone to do a big celebration of Michael Crawford.
Yeah.
Before it's too late. He looks in great shape.
He does.
He is in his late 70s.
Yeah.
You know, please, can we go through the archives and bring him back?
He's the most incredibly versatile performer. If you think about the range he showed, like you said, one minute, ooh, Betty, the next minute, this brooding, like, dark hero with an incredible tenor voice. I mean, he's one of our most outstanding entertainers. But yes, you're right. I hadn't even thought where he'd been, but that's really sad.
I want him back.
He's fantastic. Well, it was nice to see him. And he'd been following Bill's dances every week. And he really seemed to be kind of a keen fan of things. It was really lovely.
I believe he lives in New Zealand, so I'm not sure how he's doing that, but it sounds like he's involved in illegal streams.
I think we'll let him off, won't we?
No. We need to punish him to the fullest extent of the law.
You are horrible.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
Questions.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Moving on to the next dance. What was next?
Harvey and Jeanette. Oh. They danced an American smooth sort of foxtrot to a chorus line.
Oh, my God. This was absolutely jaw-dropping. And and I think I'm right in saying plainly tens. It should have been across the board. Yeah. There's no question of that. It was Jeanette's first ever musicals week. She'd never progressed this far in the competition before, which seems criminal in itself.
Unbelievable.
What with
I would
her
be making
a
big part of the story of Strictly this season would be that Jeanette might make it to the final.
I know.
But Julia, what a dance, eh?
It was. Wasn't it? Spectacular.
They are so good together as well.
Oh, just perfect.
They do something that a lot of the others don't do, which is when the others, you know, the hand goes out and you have to grab your partner, you know, after whatever, after you've let them go and they've spun a couple of times and come back. Everybody else looks for where the hand is.
Yeah.
And the two of them, their hands just keep moving until they just find each other.
Yes.
They just flow into each other.
It's incredible,
isn't
it?
It's just fantastic.
It's a hell of
a
partnership.
Choice, yeah, isn't it? And the music choice, really, when you get a routine that's as good as this, if you've also got music that is iconic,
yes,
it
a famous
just becomes,
tune.
Oh, something so fantastic. Do you remember when he started, so week one?
Yeah.
And he was like a scruffy little squit. And
he was so scrawny.
Oh, I'm all tired and stuff. And he was all like sleepy-eyed. Yep. And he was just sort of like shrugging all the time.
Yeah.
And you just went, oh, you entitled little shit.
Yes. Yes, I didn't think warm things about him, I must admit. Yeah.
He's like one of the greatest dancers I've ever seen on television. I look forward to him appearing on
me
TV
too.
Every time. And stuff like this, I mean, this dance for me has, I think, probably made them the odds-on favourites.
I thought exactly the same after this. That embodied everything. That was musicals week. It could just have been the two of them in their gold, glittery suits, making those incredible shapes. It was like sparkling. It was like champagne. It was so crisp and kind of fizzy. He doesn't seem to have like a weakness. He doesn't seem to have any flaws when it comes to what he can do with his body. And they talked about how this routine challenged him. It wasn't just more of the same. He was actually pushing himself more and more lifts. He's now the king of the lifts, they were saying. It's just, Motsy said, I like that you don't sit on your talent. Don't sit on your talent. Never. It's like sitting on a radiator. You'll get piles if you sit on your talent.
She said, look, the dance of the season, the dance of the decade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Craig, you know, for me, it's like looking in a mirror. You can sing, you can dance. He said, I might have to call myself CRH now.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't quite work.
It didn't work.
It's
he should
Krug.
Be CRG.
Krug.
Yeah, it would be Krug. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Krug. Mm-hmm. I mean, just when someone says to you, picture a really good dance, I would picture two people in gold lame moving around each other like sort of space otters.
And I initially had my doubts that they were doing the clone thing again, like with the costume department's obsession with just dressing them as each other. And I thought, I kind of wished, could Jeanette be in like an amazing dress that when she swung around like that, the skirts would go. But actually, it looked spectacular because just that
didn't
gold,
it?
That sort of reflective surface just really highlighted every move.
And what happens? She ends up, they do this perfect dance.
It's just perfect.
And 9, 10 and 10 for
29. 9, Craig, come on.
I mean, you know, in a weird way, I think it's very irresponsible of him to do that. And I think it's irresponsible because what it does is if the BBC took Strictly seriously, as they should, then what you've done is you've robbed that from being in the greatest dances of all time.
Yes.
Clean 30.
Yes, it doesn't make the algorithm, does it? Which is really irritating.
It now has to be, here are the best dances that didn't get 30.
Yeah.
You know, and with all due respect to Ed Balls, that one is very much the dance that would be in the same episode as this one.
Yes,
and
yes.
I mean, this dance was... I mean, exceptional.
It was, but Craig said that he missed a double Shanae, apparently.
Mm.
Whatever.
There was a slight bit at the start where they kind of didn't quite manage to... I talk about how their hands flowed into each other.
Oh, yeah.
There was a bit where there was a slight stumble, but...
That must be it.
Is that worth 10% of the marks
no.
that you say, oh, you can't have it? Well, it wasn't quite 100% perfect.
Mm.
It wasn't, but it was beyond perfect all the other times.
So good. And this one will live in the memory. Like you said, the combination of the iconic tune and the breathtaking choreography. I mean, she knocked that one out of the frickin'
park. She is so good. I think, you know, I've always had a slight sort of problem over the years where she overmugs and things in all the bit where they ring in and things. But I just think in this one, they've really sort of just gone without that. You just go, you are the pro.
Yeah.
And watching her in this with someone who is so good.
Yep.
I mean, she is insane.
Yeah.
The way she dances. She's
off
just
the charts.
Phenomenal. She was also one of the few people that they actually said, well done in your choreography.
Yes.
You know, they singled her out.
And rightly so.
Well, that was the end of the show.
Yes, so there's no more dances after that. And lovely. See you next week. Okay, fine.
Wouldn't it be good to just cut him out and say, I'm afraid, you know, this podcast does not recognise Jamie Lang as being in season 18.
I love that you're antoning him. You're still calling him Lang. Apparently it's Leng. You pronounce it Leng.
Oh, this is Ralph Fiennes all over again.
Yeah,
I'm
afraid so.
If you spell it Ralph, I'll call you Ralph.
Quite so. Okay, so Jamie and Karen closed the show. So I thought, oh shit, are they expecting them to get 10s? Nah.
Mm.
Jamie and Karen did their jive. Obviously, Maisie and Gorka already knocked that one clear through the back wall of the studio to the song from Everyone's Talking About Jamie.
Yeah, it annoyed me that they brought in the real life Jamie, who everyone's
they tried to
about
co-opt
Jamie.
His struggle
completely,
TM with
completely.
Mr. Never had to struggle in his frickin' life.
Absolutely. And you know, look, I mean, you know, he is a young man. He is not homophobic. He was supportive and friendly and all that. But I did sort of go, you know, he's still this really, really wealthy, entitled person talking to a lad from, where is he, Doncaster, who, you know, is living with his mum, who was victimised, who stood up for himself when he had nothing. And there is just a part of it that I go, don't co-opt his story.
He fucking did as well. And when they came off at the end, he said, just want to say, I always hear it, Boris Johnson now, I can't hear his voice anymore.
Totally.
I just want to say that we just wanted to let everyone know that you should just believe in yourself and you can be anything you want to be. And Joel mentioned this last week, you know, giving a speech at Eton to drama students about how they could try and become comedy writers, going, I gave that speech where I said, try and be who you could be who you want to be. Like, of course you think that already.
Yeah.
So you're right. This is not your story, Jamie. You haven't got one. You can't just nick somebody else's.
I want to be the heir to a biscuit fortune. tell me how to do that.
I believe I can be that and then have a shit sweets company that my dad pays for. so I can have like young women walking around dressed as kittens handing out sweets at the launches.
I do not understand why we're being made to think he's normal. He's not normal.
They all love him so much. Most upsettingly this week, Matthew Bourne, the great choreographer who previously I'd followed because he was talking about how great Bill was doing.
Did Cinderella and the Nutcracker all male?
Wonderful.
That were huge in the late 90s, yeah.
He listed, I can't remember the other two now, listed three finalists, one of whom for him would be Jamie. Well, let's talk about his jive because
Bourne's lost his mind. Let's make that clear. Bourne's
lost it full stop.
I've always said it.
I could see it coming. Anyway, so yeah, there was one really telling look to camera, I think in the training video, maybe it was afterwards, because they obviously got Jamie's name up in lights at the back of the stage. And Karen said something about, can you believe it? We're dancing to a song that's got your name in it. And she looked at camera for just a little bit too long in a kind of, well, this was always going to happen, wasn't it? How inevitable. Like, this has always been about him. She very much is just now, unfortunately, it's like she's, I'm trying to think of, there's no analogy I can think of off the top of my head, but she's riding on the back of something that she can't stand, but she lets go, she's off the show. So she's got to keep clinging
completely.
On.
It's a little bit like when Princess Leia is slave girl to Jabba in Return of the Jedi. And she's sort of, you know, she's not trying to escape because she's going, you know, oh, see where this goes. The worst thing about this is he's really, really stepped up his game. And that is the worst thing about it.
He's trying harder and harder. He came in
with contempt, you know, for it. And this will be a breeze. That'll do anything. And now he is working hard. But annoyingly, it's paying off. And he is throwing himself into these routines. You know,
he's trying.
He's got, you know, musicality. Probably his dad bought some for him from some poor person.
Had it removed from a poor person and implanted.
But it's unreal how much his game has stepped up, and you know how he is a genuine threat to make it to the final.
Oh no, don't say that. But the thing is, you know, when you're watching a jive, obviously we watched the ultimate jive, not, you know, 20 minutes before this. When you're watching a jive and you can see the energy going towards the end, when there's a lot of, I mean, there weren't that many kicks and flicks. There was a lot of him running, jumping on a desk, running for a bit. Like there was a lot of not jive content in there to keep him basically moving, but not really having to do the tough
the
bits,
steps,
which are
the
retractions, the really fucking difficult stuff that only really dancers can do, or just very, very talented Maisies, for example. But when his legs started to look heavy, it looked effortful. They don't mention that. They never pick him up on the things that are obviously wrong with his dance.
He completely, visibly gassed for the last 45 seconds
for
of this
sure,
dance. He was gone.
Yeah.
He was missing steps. He was off time. He just didn't have anything left
word.
In the tank.
Yeah.
Powerhouse, said Craig.
Technique. You know. He said his technique was good. His legs were made of like lead, properly sluggish towards the end.
If a car breaks down 45 seconds before you reach your destination, you don't go, that was the perfect try.
No.
You know, it's I don't understand it.
Me either.
The one thing I did like was where he was pushing the desk right at the start. They both got on the other side of the desk and they pushed them really fast.
Yeah.
Because that reminded me of the sort of thing people at school would get suspended for. They'd
yes, exactly.
Run with a desk and it would just go crash
I'm
into
sure
a
he's
wall
done
and...
it before. but yeah, Shirley picked him up on some perceived misstep, but said she enjoyed it. Again, don't know what dance she was watching. Like it wasn't one misstep. And Motsi praised the choreography and said that it was good that his weight was forward. They always said that about jives, don't they? That you can get the momentum and the balance right if your weight's forward. So he was listening to, you know, technique and stuff. But as a dance, as a pleasurable or not experience, again, I clench my buttocks when I watch him because I don't feel like he's got this. I don't feel like he's dancing. I feel like he's mirroring for the, you know, the most he can possibly do it until the 90 seconds is over, and then he's like, oh, thank fuck for that. But he's not performing it. He's not giving me anything of him. He's just getting through it fast. Yes, certainly he's sped up. He's clearly improving his fitness and stuff, but he did not have 90 seconds of jive in him for this performance. And I think it really showed. But, you know, maybe it's just because I despise him. No, I don't. I love him. I will vote for him when he becomes our leader and has dominion over my reproductive rights. Yeah.
He got 3.8, giving him 24.
Which is not a show-ending score, is it?
No, it isn't. It isn't. I think, you know, they've had a good run, but this was the first one where you began going, OK, this is not going to get through to the final.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really worried this week about if JJ doesn't go into the final.
I know. If he's in the dance-off, then we're probably in business. He probably is going. Whoever he's in the dance-off with, JJ is going. But if you're right and his audience votes are high, 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 Jamie was joint top of the leaderboard or top of the leaderboard last week and he was in the dance-off. So no, people are not voting for him as far as we can tell. That's just maths. So it all depends on who he's in a dance-off with, if he's in the dance-off, I think, whether this is his week to go or not. I'm crossing my fingers. Both of them really hard.
I hope you're looking forward to hearing this in 10 years' time in a court. I say a court. The verdict will never be in doubt.
It'll just be a circle of people with rocks in their hands and he'll be telling them to start throwing them now. That'll be it. But I know what the future holds. I know what's coming. I've seen it.
Look, it's better to be dead.
if he's in charge, seriously, yes.
So that was
the quarterfinals
of Strictly season 18. We're going to be back later today just to give you a quick update on who has gone.
Yeah,
I've got fingers crossed it's JJ. My nightmare scenario will be that we end up with two good people in that dance-off.
That is a genuine worry, like a Ranveer or someone amazing.
If Jamie and JJ both escape this week, I'm not going to set fire to the BBC because that's a sort of weird threat. But all I'm going to say is I am going to do something to something.
Yeah, my nightmare scenario is JJ and Jamie both in the bottom two because Jamie will stay. Mm. I can take another week of JJ if it means Jamie goes. In a way, my ideal scenario is someone brilliant is in the dance-off with Jamie. Harvey or Maisie. Like, Maisie's been in lots of dance-offs. I don't know why, because she's clearly the best. But if it could be anyone who's got a good chance of vanquishing Jamie, then I'll be happy with that. I'll take the nails bitten just to get him out, please.
Well, fantastic. Well, we will see you later on. Thank you very much for listening. We do really appreciate it. And
I tried to do the sincerity bit last week and it just didn't sound genuine. But I do really appreciate you listening.
Look, so if you get a chance, do leave us a review. 5 stars only, please. We have been asked to say by iTunes, if you do try to give a 1-4 star review, they will cancel your account immediately. So please don't let that happen.
And take a £50 penalty fine.
It just
harsh,
comes out of your account.
You know, yeah.
I know, but there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. So until we speak again, thanks very much for listening. And now it's time for Michael McIntyre's The Wheel.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.